Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Okay, so John 16, verse 31 says, "Behold," it says, "Jesus answered them, 'Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Say amen. I like the portion that says that in the world that we live in, you will have tribulations, trials, challenges. But I, Jesus, I have gone through it and overcome the world. And his ability and his overcoming the world was, he didn't overcome the world for himself. He overcame the world so that through Christ, through him, we become automatic overcomers. So your overcoming is not dependent on your capacity or abilities or your inherent something that you have. It was because Jesus first overcame the world. So long as you are in Christ, you are an automatic overcomer. Anything that the enemy will throw at you, it will come to you, but it will bounce back to him, because Jesus has already defeated him and he has made you a victor, not a victim. Hallelujah. That is why I like 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4 is the most powerful scriptures in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Say amen. So ye are of God. You are of God, a little children. We are still little children before the Lord, and have overcome them already. And the reason you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you. The Christ in you is greater than whatever the enemy will throw at you in the world. So these two scriptures has already made you a victorious Christian. So my victory in Christ is not something that is going to happen. It has already happened. Are you clapping or you are not? So if you are going through challenges and you are going through trials and you are going through pain, it's just something that is very, very temporary, because at the end of the story, you will be the one to tell the world how you went through this painful challenge times and you overcame. So I'm titling my message, "Becoming an Overcomer." Becoming what? An overcomer. Look at 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. Look at what the Bible says. It says, "Ye are of God, little children." 1 John 5. Okay, but look at chapter 5, verse 4. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Look at it. The Bible said something. 1 John 5, verse 4. It says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Say amen. Oh, look at the verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So if you are seated here and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you are an overcomer. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith. Your faith in Christ makes you an overcomer. Your faith in Christ. That is why I find it very difficult to have a child of God who is in church, but he's still doubling in the occult. You are trying to help Jesus. Jesus doesn't need that help. He is God all by himself and can defeat anything that wants to defeat you. He can destroy anything that wants to destroy you. And if that thing that wants to destroy you is a human being, that human being is in trouble. Because I am born of God and I have overcome the world. Greater is he that is in me than the, and that scripture must be your constant confession. Anytime you see fear, anytime you feel, greater is he that is in me. If you are in your room and you are having bad dreams, you feel the presence of an evil spirit in your bedroom, you must say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So whatever is in the world, witchcraft, anything, tukpe, anything, what is in you, Christ, is greater than anything that the enemy will throw at you. Am I talking to somebody here? Yeah. And 1 John 5:4, let's repeat that scripture again, and I want us to read it as a mass choir. 1 John 5:4, look at it, let's go, 1, 2. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even what? Our faith. Our faith in what? In Christ. Not in some image or whatever. Your faith is not in your husband. Your faith is not in your security person in front of your house. Your faith is in Christ. And where is Christ? In you. In you. Look at the verse 5 again. Let's read as a mass choir. 1, 2. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Then you are already an overcomer. You are not. There is no failure in my house here. There is no defeated person in this house. There is nobody here who is downtrodden and has been overpowered by witches. Witches and wizards have no place. Witches and wizards, they will perish in their witchcraft. Nothing shall touch your life. Nothing shall touch your home. Your home is untouchable. It's a place not for witches to come in. Any witch, any wizard who comes to joke in your house will perish by morning in his own house. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Am I talking to somebody here? Because sometimes we elevate problems, we elevate trials, we elevate things more than the Christ in you. You see, sometimes you feel that the problems you are having are so big that you need to add to Christ. You need to go and shake some bottle somewhere. You need to go and see some woman somewhere. You need to go and see somebody somewhere. You need for somebody to go and read your palms and tell you stories. You don't need anybody to read your palms. You want to go and check your zodiac, whatever. I'm Capricorn, I'm Leo, I'm Sagittarius. You want to let your star be your guide. Stop all that horoscopic nonsense. Christ is in you. You don't need horoscope. Christ is in you. You don't need anybody to read your palm. Christ is in you, period. Christ is all sufficient in you. You don't need any help. You don't need your grandmother. You don't need your grandfather who died. You don't need to pour libation. You don't need to pour libation and call ancestors to come and protect your house. It's absolutely nonsense. Say it, Reverend Steve. Yeah. To pour libations and ask ancestors to come in who are dead and they are, and there is gogomi running through their nose in the grave. I remember many years ago when we used to go to our village and we would come from church, Keto, we would come from church and our parents would be pouring libations. We didn't know what we were doing. We were just looking at them. But today, this is total nonsense. After crossing from church, we come and pour libations, they will be pouring libations, we'll be calling. Look, the libations process can take about 20 minutes. Or more. Pouring, pouring, doing this. They pour, calling this, calling, they will call great grandfather, whatever, to come and protect all of us. We have just come from church. We have just come from church. And we are invoking demons. It is total ignorance. Cafe, is it not true? Me and him, we come from the same type of village. And our people will call ancestors, whatever, and they'll be calling their names. My other brother, where's my brother? You also there. We, the young people, will be looking at them. We don't know what they are. We have just come from church. And the church went to is not enough. We have to add ancestors to it. But today, in Mbuyaba, there is understanding. Scriptures, we have revelations in scriptures. Since I got to know this, I've never called on any ancestors. I've never called on any ancestral worship ever. And the Lord has protected me and my entire family and the entire church. It has taken me to missions, to nations, to countries, continents, preaching the same gospel that Christ in you is the hope of your glory. Christ in you is everything. Christ in you makes you an overcomer. Christ in you, and He will cross all crises. The Christ in you will cross all crises. What is your crisis? What is the nature of your crisis? The Christ in you will cross, defeat, destroy all crises. Say, I hear you. The gentleman that is coming, you know, wearing white, I think they are part of the family. So bring them here, please. Bring them to join the rest of the families. Oh, yes. Bring them to come and join the rest of the Mufetu family. All right, good. Look at Numbers 22, verse 11. The book of Numbers 22 and the verse number 11. Numbers 22. Numbers 22. Are you there? Is he there? Behold, there is a people, referring to us. Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. We have come out of our Egypt, which is the world, which covereth the face of the earth. We cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse me then, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. Now, this is Balak telling Balaam that there is a group of people who have come out of Egypt. Curse me then, so that I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, the prophet, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Say amen. It means that he whom God himself has blessed, no one can curse. Are you blessed by God? The anybody who curses you is too late. It's too late. Because whom God himself has blessed, no, nothing shall curse a blessed person. That is why, if you are here in this auditorium and you don't have Christ, you are not born again, then why 7 years more? Because a curse, if it has a cause, it will land. But if a curse has no cause, it will not alight.
And it has no cost because you have given your life to Jesus Christ. You have given your life not to a church. Some people give their life to a church. No, don't give your life to a church. Give your life to a person. And the person is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Not a church. Some people are church based. This is church. This is church. No, don't forget about church. Church is a building. But you must give your life to a person. The person of Jesus Christ. So that when they throw you in a desert where there is no church, you still have Christ in you. You are a carrier of the church. The church is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. That is why you will survive anywhere in the world because of the Christ that is in you. Anywhere. In Greenland, in Alaska, in the Arabian desert, in Morocco, Algeria, anywhere they throw you, because of that Christ in you, you will become a victorious person. And people will be asking, why is this sister so confident and so whatever? It's because you know who you are. I know who God says I am. Where He says I am. What He says I am. I know who I am. I know who God says I am. What He says I am. Where He says I am. I know who I am.
I'm walking in power. I'm walking in miracles. I live a life of favor. I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I'm walking in miracles. I live a life of favor. I know who I am.
Hallelujah. Say amen. Prince William and Prince Harry. They were born and everything. And when they were growing up, they were taught, brought up for them to understand who they are. You are not an ordinary British citizen. You are from the royal family. You carry royalty in you. The whole land of the United Kingdom belongs to your great-great-grandfather thousands of years ago. So you are born in the lineage of royalty. And you, Prince William, you are the next of king. Your grandmother, Queen Elizabeth, is on the throne. When she dies, your father, Prince Charles, will be the next king. When your father, Prince Charles, dies, you are the next king. Because of that, you don't urinate in public. You don't eat in public. You don't just go walking around. No. You must exhume royalty. When you cough, it is recorded in the tabloids. Now these things were taught when they were children. They didn't know who they were until they were taught. That the way I'm teaching of who you are, that's how they were taught. You are royalty. There's a special school that tells this is what you don't work, whatever. You don't go and work at Sainsbury's. You don't, whatever. You don't mingle with common people. You don't be careful what you say in public. Be careful whatever promise you make to anybody. Don't kiss a girl, whatever. There are so many things that are protocols. It's so much also in Christ. There are protocols you follow in Christ. This, you don't go to shrines. You don't go to all kinds of places. You should not be seen in some fetishism. You cannot be seen in beer beds. You cannot be seen in discotheques. You can't let any man just put your arms around you. You cannot be flirting with anybody. Because you are royalty. You are there's Christ in you. There are certain places you don't go. Certain lines you don't cross. You cannot be a lesbian. These people, put them there again. They cannot be lesbians and they cannot be gays. They cannot be gay. They don't even... You cannot grow artificial hair. That's why one of them is bald like that. You cannot dye your hair. This guy, he cannot dye his hair. He cannot wear artificial hair. It is against royalty for you to go and wear. You don't, if you're a lady, you don't have long fingers. You don't paint your fingers. No. You don't do those things. They give you strict protocols you must follow. Because you are royalty. You are trained, brought up
to know that you are not whatever. So this guy, it is in his head that the day his father passes on, he is next, is the next king of the whole of England. Yeah. Say amen.
Amen.
And his kingdom shall pass away. But your kingdom, the kingdom of God, is forever. It's forever. As long as you live, your kingdom is forever. And your king, who is Jesus, is never replaced. He lives forever. Yes. You are a holy nation. You are the royal priesthood. You are a people. And therefore, when you are walking, when you are talking, you don't behave like a chicken. Am I talking to somebody here? Look, these boys, these young men, when they come into, when Prince William says, I want to visit Ghana, the whole protocol machinery will be at his beck and call. The whole British fleet will be, it will be pointing at Ghana. The British fleet, if it is pointing to Russia, it will turn like this, and then face Ghana. The moment that we touch this boy, if we touch this boy, we'll be very sorry. The B-15 fleet will fly over this country. It's like first warning. If we fire back, we are finished. They will target only three places: our electricity, our water, and our government. Three B-15 bombers will just fly. We are finished. We'll be deaf. We'll be blind. Yeah? Just touch this boy. If you touch this boy, you have touched the whole of the British Empire. If you touch this boy, you have touched the whole of it. If somebody touches you, he has touched the empire of God. If somebody touches you, the angels in heaven, the whole choirs of earth will come and attack that person. Because you are royalty. There is a promise of protection. You cannot touch any of my children. That's why we cannot touch this boy. Nobody can touch you. You are a royal priest. And the Bible said, even the strands on your hair has been numbered by God. You are inscribed in the palm of the Lord Jesus. He says, my eyes are watching over you. The Bible says that God will neither sleep nor slumber. He said, I will be with you always. Look, Ghana, we are 33 million people. And if they want to take us out of the map, it's like this. When I see our soldiers dressed, whatever, I say, oh, good, good soldiers. Ground troops will not come to this country. Ground troops, not one ground troop will appear here. The world has become so sophisticated that they just have to push the British fleet. They just push it close to our coastline. And aircraft will lift, they will lift the aircraft from their deck to Ghana. And when they are coming, they come like this. They will come once. And then they will vanish. And then after some 30 seconds, you see them again. It's like, guys, get ready. So we like this, we never have. If we want to go to war with Togo. Yeah. Somebody wants to go to war with you, you better look for somebody else to go to war with. Because if the person comes against you, they shall come in one way and they shall flee in seven ways. Because God will deploy angels to defend you alone against all the host of demons from your village. God will come down to defend you alone. Say, I hear you. Look at Numbers 13 verse 30. Numbers 13 verse number 30. Numbers 13, 30. and Caleb still the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." So you see, the children of Israel, after God has said, "Go to the land of the Canaanite, possess that land, I have given that place to you." So they sent out spies. When the spies went there, they forgot the God that they had. They were looking at the giants of the land. So they came and said, "Look, the place is good that God gave to us. The land flowed truly with milk and honey. But there are giants on that land." Say amen. And the giants, the size of the giant put fear in us. And so we don't think that God really meant it when he said we should go and possess the land. Then Caleb stood up and said, no, don't say that. "For we are well able." I have come to announce to somebody that it doesn't matter what is towering before you. You are well able. Raise your right hand and say, "Father, I am well able." What are you well able to do? To overcome anything. To possess your possession. To become prosperous. To marry. To do well in business. You are well able. And nothing should intimidate or frighten you out of some chicken corner. No. For we are well able. Say amen. And when you know what your God is able to do, you don't get scared when the enemy throws something at you. These people saw 10 plagues. They saw God turn the Nile into blood. They saw God bring frogs out of the water. They saw God rain hailstones. They saw God. And yet, they still didn't have confidence in this same God. And sometimes, that is the way we also behave. You've seen God do many things in your life, and still, you find yourself belittling when you have small challenges. You forget the God who has protected you for the past 20 years. If it hadn't been for the Lord on your side, they would have been putting flowers on your grave by now. If it hadn't been for God who delivered you, you would have been on a sick bed by now. There are so many near-death experiences, challenges that God delivered you from. So why are you afraid of the future? He is the holder of the future. He is the present help in time of need. "I shall not be afraid of the enemy that shall rise up against me. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Am I talking to somebody? He said, "A 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 on thy right hand. But you and your wife and your husband and your 4 children, it shall not come nigh thee. Only with your eyes you shall see and behold the salary of the wicked." This is the heritage. This is the confidence. No weapon that is formed against you. Somebody can go to his village. He can mix blood with oil and live chicken and the eggs of a snake. Do snake lay eggs? Okay. Yeah. And call your spirit. Call your name. No. It shall not come nigh thee thy dwelling. You are hidden in Christ and in God. angels have surrounded your house. You are a very tiny, simple girl living in some house near Agogba, but God has protected you there. You are not walking alone. You are not walking alone. Sometimes they interview people on social media and say, "Me nam hokwa, nyeme di mechi." Yes, we nyeme di mechi. Yes, we nyeme di mechi. Sometimes when somebody said that, "Well, I didn't come here alone. I came here with my spirits." What spirits? When we hear somebody talking like that, don't be afraid at all. What did they say? I was talking to somebody. Said, "Reverend, are you the one talking to me? I'm telling you, you see things." I said, "What things am I going to see? What things am I going to see? What do you have?" And I spoke some words. The guy said, "Reverend, you know, I'm sorry." Reverend, I said, "Yeah, you better be sorry, because I know who I am. I know who I am. Don't walk like a chicken. Don't go your boss, you see, sometimes when your boss is talking, you are so intimidated that you feel that maybe, you will not be defeated until God himself is defeated. Say amen. So he that overcometh, is born of God. And there are 14 things you must overcome. And I'm not going to attempt to study today. It will be part two. And I will list what you must overcome after the anniversary is over. I'm going to show you the roadmap to becoming an overcomer. Say amen. Yes, and I'm running it through right now. You must overcome carnality. You must overcome spiritual attacks. You must overcome diseases and sicknesses. You must overcome anger. You must overcome pain. You must overcome emotional disturbances. You must overcome unforgiveness. You must overcome worldly system. You must overcome trials. You must overcome tribulations. You must overcome temptations. You must overcome misfortunes. You must overcome disappointment and discouragement. These are the things you must overcome. I think there are about 14 of them. And I will not start it today. But let me show you something in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 5. Romans 8 5. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit." Go ahead. "For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Look at the next verse. It says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelling in you, now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Hallelujah. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Hallelujah. "But if the Spirit of him," hallelujah, let's read it together as a mass choir. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." Say amen. So it is important that you become a spiritual person. Don't be a carnal person. Don't live in the flesh. Live in the spirit. Because to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. "For if the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, if that same spirit dwelleth in you, it will revive, resuscitate, it will elogize, it will move your body. And Christ is in me. You cannot defeat me. I'm undefeatable. You can go and shake anything in anywhere. And when you are saying it, say it with boldness that Christ lives in me. Me wo Jesus otimimu. Me wo Jesus otimimu. Otima kumemuda. Me wo Jesus otimimu. Jesus otimimu. Otimimu. Me wo Jesus otimimu. So, Jesus lives in you. Anything that is also living in you, drive that thing away. Because that thing would destroy your sensitivity to the Spirit. That is why you must be careful what you drink. You say, drink this, do this, blah, 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 on scriptural things. Yesterday, when I was sending the body of mercy to the hope, to Daniel to be buried, I said it here. I said, as they are going, when they get to the place, there should be no libations. Was there libation? There should be no rituals. There should be nothing. It's a child of God. Give the warning. It's a child of God. And you must put it in your will that when the Lord calls you into the glory, they should hand over your body to the church. The church should be responsible for everything. There should be no at your funeral. Some elders should not put cloth around them. They come around and then they go and hide your body in a certain room and they are talking to you. Who killed you? Who is owing you? Who is whatever? No, what nonsense is that? You are a child of God. Even in death, your name, the name of the Lord should be glorified. When they have led you in state, there should be a good sermon preacher to convert others. Your good works must follow you. Christ in you forever. I don't know how long you are going to live on this earth here, but as long as you live on this earth, it's Christ in you. And you can never deny Christ anywhere. And everything of you must be Christ-like. Even at your funeral, there should be no alcoholic beverages at your funeral. People shouldn't now order beer and bivita and whiskey at your funeral. When you see that there's alcohol smelling at the funeral, rise up from the dead and rebuke them and sack them from your funeral and die again. There are people who are Christians, but the activities around you is not Christ-like. The things around you is worldly, to be is carnality, to be carnally minded is death. Death, not physical death, but death in the spirit. You are alienated from Christ. That is why I said here the other time, I'll say it again. You cannot celebrate a birthday, and the birthday is saturated with worldliness. Carnality. They are drinking beer at your birthday. The whole place is full of alcohol, worldly music at your birthday. You are a Christian. Nakedness. People have naked at your birthday. And you yourself, you are carrying a bottle of beer. Oh, pastor. Why? If I catch you doing that kind of birthday, you will be the sermon on the following Sunday. A certain major general daughter had a wedding in this house. Very beautiful wedding. Very, very, very solemn, very beautiful wedding. And then afterwards, the general came and said that we should come to the dinner. So we normally, myself, we don't normally attend wedding dinners and all. But he said, I insist. So we all went to the wedding dinner. Hey. I was surprised. And what shocked me was my members were also at the dinner. The worldliness, the music, the alcohol, the atmosphere. So we were ushered to come and sit at the high table. The high table was full of whiskey. And then my members came around. Reverend. Reverend, what will you drink? I say, you have everything. Yeah, we have everything. We are finished with church. The name of God is glory by here. It's a Nijengwa. And I saw my members dancing to worldly music. The atmosphere. The following Sunday, I changed the topic of the sermon. I changed my message the following Sunday. I said, this is not Christian. Doesn't glorify God. The atmosphere, the dancing, that marriage, it's that marriage, the couple, the kind of dancing they dance in front of their pastor. Why? Just a year, is it a year or so? The marriage broke. A year, not more than a year, or 2 years. 2 years, the marriage broke. The sad part of that, the girl also died. Yeah, the girl died. The girl died. The foundation was poor. Worldliness. The girl died. So, you sitting here, everything, that is why the Bible said, take up your cross daily and follow. That means that there are certain things you must let go. You can't have the two worlds in your life. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. No, you must leave one and embrace the other. You must take one and embrace the other. When you invite me to your 40th birthday or 50th birthday, when I come there, it's orange juice, sobolo, asana, lemojin, whatever. Those are the things I want to see. Malt, fruit cocktail, the music should be Dana Hamilton's music, Esther Goodwill's music. Where is Esther? Kweku Kwame's music. Daughter's music. The Bible says whether we eat or we drink, we do it all in the name of the Lord. So you can't bring your worldly friends and say, Reverend, you know that I have to try and satisfy everybody. It's nonsense. You cannot satisfy everybody. This is what you are serving. Your friends, they either drink what they are drinking or they go home. It's jollof rice, saffron rice, rice alori, fried rice, lamojin, angwamo, sobolo. That is what I'm serving. To thank God that I'm 50 years. To thank God that I'm 40 years. To thank God that I'm 30 years. Yesterday, Kweku Kwame had his birthday concert 30 years. So everybody was in white, glorifying God. They can't come and serve beer there. Like he's finished in this house. He's finished in this house. I won't let him hold the microphone here. You have to do everything. When we come to you, let your ceremony also glorify Jesus. Let people be convicted that since you gave your life to Christ, your life is so peaceful, you are so progressive, everything is working well. That is why there are some people, when you see an invite, you tell us that this invite, I'm not going. One day I asked somebody to become a deacon in this house. I said, Reverend, I would have loved to become a deacon, but I haven't finished enjoying the world yet. I said, what are you enjoying? And there are a few places I'm still, you know. So, you next year I'll become a deacon. So, he didn't become a deacon. He didn't become a deacon. Because he said he hasn't finished enjoying. He said, some of the places I go, when they know I'm a deacon, you know, it will be very embarrassing. He was very honest. Some of the places I go, if they know I'm a deacon of this church, it will be very embarrassing. So, Reverend, I'm postponing my deacon. That's what he told me. I said, you're a very decent person. I want you to come and join the deaconry board. He said, yeah, Reverend. It's a good idea, but I haven't finished the world yet. Say amen. I read something in the scriptures and I will expatiate on them in my next session. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Revelation 2, 7. He says, "He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Which means that you must what? Overcome. To him that, that means that you have been given the opportunity to overcome. And to him that overcometh, which means that you must do the overcoming. The atmosphere has been created. You have choices to make. You have choices to make. To him that overcometh. Revelation 2, I think the 17, Revelation 2, 17. The 17, what does it say? 17 says what? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. That is a hidden manna that will be given to you when you overcome. And will give him a white stone. And in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. So there is a need for you to overcome. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. Revelation 2, verse 26. Look at it. Revelation 2, 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Which means that you cannot fail. You must be an overcomer. To him that overcometh. Look at it again. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. And keepeth. One of the beautiful things about Mercy We Fear to, which I want to comment again, that even though at a point she became sick and she couldn't come to church, she couldn't do what was, even on her sick bed, she was still doing the work of God. She was still witnessing. She was still sending messages. She was still playing the role in this church as well. So she kept the works of God till the end. May you keep God's work till the end. Say amen. Are you clapping or you are not clapping? Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. Revelation 3, verse 12. Revelation 3, verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. So that, my sister, you have to overcome. Revelation 3, 21. Revelation 3, 21. Look at it. Revelation 3, 21. It says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. To him that overcometh, which means that you cannot miss out and not overcome. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father. So there is a throne you must sit in heaven when you overcome. You have no choice. You have to overcome all these things that the enemy is throwing at you. Revelation 21 verse 7. Revelation 21 verse 7. Look at it. Revelation 21 verse 7. Revelation 21 verse 7. It says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son or daughter. Hallelujah. It means that you have no choice. You have to be an overcomer. And that is why in my next session, I am going to teach how to overcome. How to overcome carnality, how to overcome anger, how to overcome pain, how to overcome diseases and sicknesses, how to overcome unforgiveness. There are some people, they can't just forgive. You cannot have unforgiveness in your life till death. You cannot. You cannot live a life and you can't forgive anybody. You have to overcome it. You have to overcome the spirit of unforgiveness. You have to overcome discouraging moments. You have to overcome emotional whatever. You have to overcome depression. You are always depressed. You have to overcome it. There are things about it, because when you overcome, the book of Revelations, all over, to him that overcome it, to him that overcome it, to him that overcome it. Say amen. Hallelujah. Look at Revelation 3:10. Look at what he says. Look at Revelation 3:10. Revelation said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Also, there will be some temptation that will try those who dwell upon the earth. Next verse. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Which means that somebody wants to take your crown. Your crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous that shall give at that day. So you must not allow anybody or anything to take away your crown. Look at the next verse. He says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And he said, he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So my brother, tell somebody, you cannot fail. You cannot go down. You must overcome. You must overcome trials. You must overcome temptations. You must overcome anything that the enemy throws at you. I like the scripture in the book of James chapter 1 verse 12. I'm closing with that. Look at James 1:12. He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. So, look, the challenges coming your way to discourage you, endure and overcome. And look at what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse, one of the most powerful scriptures, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Look at it. He says, there had no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. There is no temptation that overtakes you. Don't say things like, I was so overwhelmed, I didn't know what to do, and I fell into the temptation. No. You must overcome the temptation. You must overcome the trial. You must endure. You must endure affliction. You must come out of it. You are a victor. He says, there had no temptation that has overtaken. That is not common to man. But God himself in the temptation will make a way of escape for you. You are a victor. God bless you. And I love you.
I believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.